that don't. It's a charity that's been going for over 65 years, started by a guy called Brother Andrew, who smuggled Bibles into what was then the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe. Now it goes all over the world, and one of the things it does is to produce this World Watch List every January, which it gives to Parliament. And it has quite a big influence in Parliament, actually, Open Doors, because it's one of the sources where they get the information for how they govern foreign policy. What we're going to do is we're going to watch a video in a minute from North Korea. Now, in the World Watch List, North Korea is number one. It dropped a couple of years ago when the Taliban took over Afghanistan, but for the last 40 years, which is how long they've been doing the list, North Korea is number one. So we're going to watch the video just to set the scene before we talk any more. Thanks, Mike.
I had just come home from school the day the police came to our home. They tore our house apart. They were looking for two things: the radio and my father's secret book. I didn't know what the book was, but I knew that it was dangerous. And I knew, when the police found it, that I'd never see my father again.
In North Korea, Christians can be arrested and even killed just for owning a Bible. That's why Jiho's father kept his buried in the garden and didn't even tell her what it really was. But he did used to read her stories and sayings from his secret book.
When salt loses its taste, what good is it? People are like salt. If we lose our kindness for others, we lose our humanity. Always keep your saltiness.
Jiho knew that her father used to tune into his illegal radio to pick up foreign broadcasts about how to get extra food. Years later, when Jiho needed food, she decided to try to do the same.
Usually, I only heard weather reports or news from countries I'd never heard of. Sometimes I heard about a food shortage in our country, but there was no information about where to get food. But one day, I heard something else, something that changed my life.
You are the salt of the earth. If salt loses its taste, what good is it?
That's the day I first heard about Jesus, the God of my father. From then on, I listened every chance I got. And as I listened, I began to believe.
Open Doors operates a radio ministry that reaches thousands of secret believers in North Korea. Jiho doesn't know of any other Christians, but through the radio programs, she can learn more about Jesus. And to show her kindness, her saltiness to her neighbors, she now shares what little food she has with them.
I don't know where these radio broadcasts come from or why I can hear them, but I hope that whoever is sending them in knows how much it's changed my life. Things are so hard in North Korea, and God offers so much hope. Even though following Jesus is so dangerous, it's worth the risk.
Okay, so that's a compilation, really, of experiences that people have in North Korea. It's great because it shows you some of the risks. It emphasizes the fact that there are young people in North Korea who are struggling in this way. And it's got a great lesson to us, hasn't it, in the fact that even though she had so little, she was willing to give it away. In a huge square, thousands stand in the front of a giant idol of their leader. Watching over them is this leader. At the given moment, everybody bows in worship for the one they know as a god. Spies are everywhere. If you don't do it, you are reported. If you're caught for not doing it, the punishment is death. So where are we? The passage today is Daniel 3, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king in the passage is Nebuchadnezzar, but equally so, that could be North Korea, Pyongyang. That could be Kim Jong. Quite easily the same situation. People gather, there are huge idols in their main square, 72 feet high, of their leaders. And they are worshipped like gods. They are taught there is only one God, and that is the leader of the country. They bow, and if they don't bow and get reported, they're in big trouble. Even during the schools, they are taught to spy on their family. So let's just look at the passage in Daniel chapter 3. I won't read all of it, I'll pick it out. I'm sure most of you know the story anyway. Daniel chapter 3. Now King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high and 9 feet wide and set it up on the plain. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the officials to the dedication of the image. So they all came. And the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and people of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down will be put into the blazing fiery furnace." And then he repeats again. Everybody falls down. And then some astrologers come and they say, "King Nebuchadnezzar, may the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound should bow down. But there are some Jews if you set over the province, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you set up." So they bring them before the king. The king says, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of the Lord that I have set up when you hear the sound of the... If you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into blazing furnace, and then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. He will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image you have set up." And then they get thrown into the furnace. So we'll come back to that in a minute. So we're talking about kings. We've already talked about one king, Jesus, and how he came. King Nebuchadnezzar and the leaders of North Korea who would see themselves as a king, if you like. Jesus came as a king. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But as he approached the city, he wept over it. He knew what was going to happen to the city. He knew what was going to happen to him on the cross. So we have this huge contrast between the powers of the world, North Korea, Nebuchadnezzar, and Jesus. Two totally different types have set up two totally different types of king. For much of the world, persecution is the normal Christian life. This last year, 365 million are in severe or extreme persecution, one in seven. Last year, 15,000 churches were attacked or closed. In 2022, that was only 2,000. It's gone up seven times the number of churches attacked. In 2019, there were only 260 million persecuted severe Christians. Now it's 365. Last year, over 3,000 were detained, up 6%. So as we look out across the world, it's not getting any easier to be a Christian. I don't know what you were doing on Christmas Eve. Enjoying family. Looking forward to the next day. In central Nigeria, there was an attack. 25 villages, 8 churches, 200 dead, 30,000 displaced. It's just south of Jos. Actually, we've been to that area because we were in Nigeria. Nigeria's number 6 on the list. There are 17 million Christian displaced people in West Africa. You have a friend in Nigeria, works in the area. She just wrote very simply this. She said, "It was horrific. Lord Jesus, come." Those were her simple sentence that summed up her feeling of what she had seen, the tremendous destruction that there was. In Timothy it says, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have been convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. In 1 Thessalonians, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with joy, given by the Holy Spirit." I don't know whether you know, remember the story in Acts when Paul goes to Thessalonia? He goes to that city, and actually the house where he was preaching, the guy gets arrested while he's still there. That was a start to his Christian life, wasn't it? Invites Paul in, becomes a Christian, gets arrested. In North Korea, or across much of the world, the challenge is no different to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. "Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. For if not, be it known to you, we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image you have set up." On the video, even though following Jesus is dangerous, it's worth the risk. In North Korea, there were probably about 400,000 Christians, which is a lot. Open Doors supports about 100,000 of those. It's done through smuggling stuff through the border with China. Now, North Koreans have closed that border. They put up a second border fence. And they're very poor. One month's wages buys you 1 kilo of food. Just think about that. 1 month's wages buys you 1 kilo of rice, whatever. That's a bag, isn't it? I did have a bag, but I left it at the last church of it, so that someday they're going to find the bag underneath there, near Necton. 1 kilo, that's like a bag of sugar, for 1 month's food for a family, if anyone's earning. The border is closed down, so it means that every time they try and bring food in from outside or money in, it has to be smuggled. And that smuggling obviously costs money. There was one thing that said that there are now only one tenth of the smugglers that there were before COVID. So it's becoming much, much tighter in every way, and it's very difficult for anybody to get out now. People were able to smuggle themselves out, cross the river into China. Very difficult now to get out of North Korea. And what happens if they get to China? Everything is under surveillance in China. China, like Babylon. Babylon was the country that ruled that area totally. The same way China now rules that area totally and rules its own area with complete power. Just as in Babylon's time, everything was watched and the people reported one another, so in China today. But they do it with cameras. Everything. If we'd be here, then we'd have cameras around the wall because we're in a church. We'd have cameras at the door. We'd have our social credit system marked. So we would all have on our phones what our credit system was. That social credit depends on whether you're a good citizen. And you can only do certain things if you have a social credit. So you can only travel, you can only buy certain food if your social credit is good enough. But being a Christian is not going to raise your social credit. It's going to put you down. And even if you get a telephone call from someone who has poor social credit, it will give you a warning before you answer the telephone. Just think about that level of control. So even if the North Koreans got over the border into China, they're still under total surveillance. So there are safe houses, but it's becoming more and more difficult to do anything. And China itself is only down at 19 because it's all very subtle in China. They're not killing them off, obviously. They're shutting churches gradually. So it's only 19 on the list. But it's having a huge effect on the world, which is enabling more persecution across the world. They've got £5 billion invested in Africa. There's £1 billion spent in actually exporting surveillance to Africa. So you think about that in a Muslim country or in a difficult country that are anti-Christian, China pouring in the surveillance so that the Christians be controlled. Everything is controlled through central bank digital currency. And it's spreading. It's spreading right across the world. It's in India, and it will come here eventually. 10,000 churches closed in China. Last year, there was a lady came over from North Korea called Sanghwa. She's been over a couple of times, spoke at a conference. She says this. She says, when you give your life to Jesus, you give your life to Jesus. In other words, whether it's life or death, you give your life to Jesus. Everything is under the control of God, who watches over the whole world. If you talk to these Koch, the amazing thing is that they have a stronger faith than we do. They have a stronger belief in the sovereignty and the power of God. We said something, didn't we? We sang a bit about God creating, everything being under his control. They believe that totally and completely, because that is how they survive as Christians. In persecution, Jesus is all you have, and you discover that he is all you need. We may now have persecution as such, but that is so true today of us, isn't it? Jesus is all that we have, and you discover he is all that we need. Of course, the story with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego doesn't end there. King Nebuchadnezzar leaps to his feet in amazement and says, weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire? Certainly, Your Majesty. Look, I see 4 men walking around, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looked like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing and shouted out, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. In all these situations that we took, and you can get the stuff online, or there's plenty of literature that you can take, there are great stories. Another one here, this is Yemen, number 5 on the World Watch List. A guy called Salah and his friend quickly shared Jesus outside their local mosque. An incredible thing to do, illegal. It could get them killed. I became known as the person who knows Jesus, says Salah. He travels in and out now, serving 70 families. His brother, Salah's brother, and his friend were arrested on the way to be baptized, to do a baptism. For 2 months, Salah hid in Yemen, fearing for his life, while trying to get them released. There were days when I was hopeless, and days when I was hopeful and strong. It was during those dark times when I felt God's presence with me. They prayed and fasted, and thankfully, after 8 weeks, amazingly, they were released. God did a miracle. He changed the heart of a person of influence who wanted them dead. He helped them get out of jail. After hours, I realized why God had allowed this to happen. God brought several prisoners to him through them. He said this, if we sit at home and do nothing, we would be safe. But what kind of Christians would we be if we weren't risking our other life for others to know life? I could stay safe and not face persecution. But what good would that be? What good is my faith if I don't go out and deliver the message of God to others? And finally, he says this, your prayers are crucial to us because they lead to miracles. So that we're talking about Salah, or whether we're talking about Sanghwa in North Korea, getting stuff across the border, the only way it actually happens is through miracles. The only way they get stuff across that border is when God does a miracle. There's no physical human way that they can smuggle across the border. It has to be God. It has to be a miracle. And how does that come? It comes through prayer. And yet this church is growing. The amazing thing is the church across the world is growing. The church here may be dying out, but in the rest of the world, the church is growing. They walk with Jesus. They obey the word. They are generous. It's true what she did. They, even though they have very little, they still give away what they have to others. That's why the church is growing. You think about it, if your neighbor who is starving gives you food, it's going to have an impact, isn't it? Salt. It's interesting too how they pray. Sanghwa became a Christian because her father was a Christian before her. They were living in a camp or an area, a mining area actually. And her father was a carpenter. And he had a special area where he hid things. He prayed, but he didn't pray for his family. He prayed for everybody else. We are so focused, I think, sometimes when we pray on ourselves. Oswald Chambers says this, intercession leaves you neither time nor inclination to pray for your own sweet self. The thought of yourself is not kept out because it's not there to keep out. You are absolutely identified with God's interests in others' lives. We live in a culture that is totally self-focused. Absolutely getting worse. And yet, prayer takes us across the world, takes us to other places where there is real need. As we look at the news these days, we see war. Talk of war, Ukraine, Gaza, Yemen, Myanmar, wherever. We see it at a distance. We can look at it and think, oh, they're doing well, or they're not doing well, or this is happening, or that's happening. We're not personally involved. And yet we are called to spiritual warfare. We are called to war. And I think it's very easy for us to have the same attitude to the spiritual battle as it is to what we see on the news. Very easy for us to see, well, it's over there. But it's not, actually, because we are all one body. We're all part of the body of Jesus. A couple of quotes. John Wimber. War is going on. Most of the church don't know it. And those that do try to remain civilians. Churchill said, war is a constant struggle and must be waged from day to day. Chinese church used to ask people when they gathered, they'd ask each other, what are your wounds this week from sharing the gospel? Jesus came, didn't he, on a donkey to the cross. That's what we're remembering this week. That is the cost. See, prayer is not preparation for the battle. It is the battle. Father Andrew says this, little things are only little things, but faithfulness in little things is a big thing. Our prayers can go where we cannot. There are no borders, no prison walls, no doors that are closed to us when we pray. I know a lot of you here do pray and support Open Doors. If you don't, you've got these little cards you can fill in. You can get the information, the 50 top 50 watch list, which gives you, every page has a little thing where you can pray. If you've got a country on it, I would highly recommend it as something to pray through. They are desperate for our prayers, absolutely desperate. You may not think your prayers count for anything, but they do. So if you haven't signed up and you've got these the cards, you stick your name on it, an address, you can get the magazine, prayer diary, a free copy of whatever, and if you just fill it in, we'll take it off and send it off for you. Little things are only little things, but faithfulness in little things is a big thing. Little things, a few moments each day to pray for the persecuted church. To pray for that border between China and North Korea. To pray for those that are suffering in India, in Yemen, wherever, Africa. Little things. But together, they are a big thing. So my challenge to you this morning, same as it always is really, how much are you praying? How much am I praying? I know it all. The challenge is always the same, and it's something we can all do, whatever our situation. There is not one of us who can't pray. So let's be thankful for what we have while we have it. Get informed and pray. Let's pray now.